This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now for the second installment of our new weekly segment, Mind Your Business, where we take you through some of the major stories this week that impact our business and economic landscape.
So I'll keep it simple because our guest is going to, I think, do a lot of the heavy lifting. Here are the two main headlines that we're looking at today. Firstly, digital payment systems. After a survey by Kaspersky found that 67% of e-finance users in Southeast Asia want SMEs to start adopting digital payments. Meanwhile, technopreneurs, because MaTrade has signed a memorandum with Mardi to essentially promote and commercialize technopreneurs in international markets.
So we'll be unpacking these very shortly with our guest. But we'd like to hear from you. Are Malaysian entrepreneurs moving quickly enough when it comes to digital transition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Professor Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussain, Head of Research at the Faculty of Business and Law at Taylor's University, as well as a member of the Centre for Industrial Revolution and Innovation. Dr. Hafiz Ali, thanks for joining us today. Now, to kick off our discussion, what kind of headway are we making when it comes to digital adoption among the local business community?
I think what we have seen here is that the adoption has been increasing over the years. And if you want to try and understand why is that the case or how is that looked at, you can look at the adoption from the angle of broadband penetration and the use of email, use of internet, and the government has also played an important role in the development of digital economy to allow Malaysia as a country to rise and meet the challenges coming about from globalization. And the important lesson, I think, when we talk about the local business community is that adoption of digital technology, it's no longer optional. It's become a necessity, something which has a trend which has accelerated over the years, especially over the past 2 years.
And what kinds of support have businesses had from the government in making the transition?
I think the support coming about is about how the government has acknowledged the importance of the digital economy, and they've taken a lot of effort to spur the digital transformation. You've got the MDEC there, the Malaysian Digital Economy Corporation, or they're being tasked to spearhead all the various technopreneurship programs, and they are driving Malaysia's digital hub. And the main idea behind that would be to attract global and local tech startups and develop Malaysia as a hub. Okay. On the talent front, MDEC has been working with universities, and they've sort of like championed partnerships with industry to allow the expertise to be developed in terms of professionals in data analytics, cybersecurity, this sort of field.
And what are some of the challenges that are present?
I think right now the challenges, if you look at it, is the digital divide between firms and the different regions. If you look at the research or the evidence that we have, it suggests that most businesses are, or at least more businesses are, adopting digital technologies. And this is anecdotal because of the pandemic. And however, this has been more likely for larger firms. SMEs tend to be ill-equipped. They're not going to find it that easy to transition. The digital adoption also is basically concentrated in a few sectors, a few geographical locations. For example, in terms of sectors, they're concentrated in the manufacturing and services sector. In terms of our domestic regions, you can see that there is a greater level of penetration in the more urbanized states, such as the Federal Territories or Johor or Penang or Selangor. And why is this the case? It's basically because of the challenges, which is in terms of financing or digitalization, the cost remains very steep for smaller companies. And these costs are about connectivity, hardware, as well as software.
So in a recent Kaspersky survey, 72% of Malaysians wanted SMEs to adopt digital payment systems. What does this demand indicate about the progression of e-commerce?
I think this shows that the digitalization has become very important, and it's there in every aspect of life today. The reaction coming from businesses, or has to come from the businesses, in terms of speeding up adoption and customers' experience needs to be redefined to allow or to meet their demands. What we're seeing here is two of the most used fintech products could be like things like mobile payments, digital or online wallets. So I think it's crucial for SMEs to rethink how customers are conducting their purchases or their business activities, and face-to-face interactions are no longer the main or is going to be minimized. There's going to be a greater need for transactions that are contactless.
So recent headlines have also shown developments in technopreneurship because of Martrade signing an MOU with Mardi to facilitate this in the global market. How does this help to facilitate the growth of technopreneurs in the country?
I think the MOU was intended to promote domestic technopreneurs at the international level. And the idea is for it to enhance and strengthen demand for local products on a global scale. And this is also going to bring about an exchange of business contacts, allowing our local technopreneurs to build networks with foreign buyers and foreign importers. Now, why is this important? If you look at it, this is going to lead development of businesses. We're going to have, if this works out, emergence of local firms who now become global champions. And we're going to see emergence of a new talent pool with Malaysia as the hub. And what we're going to see is there's going to be the ability of local technopreneurs to learn from foreign competitors in terms of business practices. And this is going to, in turn, make them become more competitive.
Could you tell us what role technopreneurs play in revolutionizing the economy?
I think technopreneurs are a unique breed of people. They revolutionize what is known as the traditional economic order, and they make use of technology at hand. They look at how markets are functioning, and they look at business practices and try to merge them with new ideas, fresh ideas, change the way things are done. They try to revolutionize what is considered to be orthodox or norms and change them using technology and the solutions brought about by technological advancements. They're going to challenge the norm, bring in new concepts, new products, new services, and the outcome is going to be beneficial to society as a whole in terms of consumers, as well as what we're going to see, better ways, cheaper ways of doing things.
What have been some key initiatives in pushing for technopreneurs to go global?
I think for the best part of the last two decades, what we can see is in the Malaysian context, you have CyberGemini. And this is the hub of tech investment and business destination in Malaysia when it comes to technopreneurs. And this is because of the focus in terms of facilities. You have the right community, the business activities, and the experience that has been put in development of CyberJaya as a tech hub, and all the incentives being focused. So what we're seeing here is a very high concentration of technopreneurs or tech companies being set up there. And we've got a lot of international firms coming in. And we've also got a lot of Malaysian talent or homegrown technopreneurs, such as some of our favorite animation brands, Bobo Boy and Papa Pipi, coming from Monster Studios, for example. And we've got a lot of leading drone solution companies coming out of there, such as Aerodyne. These are now starting to become very established firms.
So what then are some of the obstacles for Malaysian technopreneurs in international markets? I mean, are we competitive?
Well, I think this, in order for us to be competitive, we need to still look at what are the challenges to enhance the competitiveness. They need to overcome some of the challenges. And you can look at the challenges from a few different angles. The first, of course, is the technological challenge in terms of going global. You're going to have a strategic plan on how to penetrate different markets, resolve logistic problems. How do you reach customers? The next thing you want to do is understand the cultural or legal challenges, the economic differences, consumer taste differences, complexity of foreign markets, and how international expansion can be quite a complex process. And in addition to that, technopreneurs are going to have to appreciate challenges of understanding different regulatory environment. You would want to build up a knowledge in terms of trade agreements, laws governing different markets, how property laws, contract laws work, and how they're designed, how they're enforced, and especially in terms of developing. The other challenge they're going to face is developing a marketing presence. They're going to need a lot of good market research and going to have to understand or gain knowledge about local business practices in different markets. And what are these strategies being employed by domestic competitors in those markets? So we're going to have technopreneurs who are going to be able to overcome these challenges.
So we reopened our borders at the beginning of this month. How do you see this benefiting local technopreneurs?
I think the biggest benefit, of course, would come from the aspect of talent acquisition. So there are some jobs which can't be done and require face-to-face interaction. It's going to facilitate movement of human capital for work as well as trade. So we're going to have local technopreneurs who might be considering expanding, exploring new business opportunities, diversifying the nature of their business or products, and they might also be in the stage of establishing new equipment or rolling out new machinery, and it could be deploying new R&D projects. They could be adopting technology from overseas. All these are going to require partners, customers, vendors, or maybe even experts being brought in physically. And these are going to be something that is very positive in that sense.
So in closing then, what developments do you hope to see in our digital economic growth?
I think when it comes to the digital economy, what I would like to see is local businesses developing into global champions. And of course, the success of these businesses will depend on the skills and capabilities of the workforce. So a lot of effort needs to be put in terms of developing, upskilling and reskilling the talent pool in the country. And the next thing I would like to see is the development of an inclusive society, digital society, which is inclusive. Yeah, no one is being left behind. Because what we see right now, there's still a digital gap across various aspects. It could be from income strata, it could be from age groups, it could come from across genders or skill sets. And we need to address this issue in order to achieve a digital society which is inclusive in nature. These are the two things I would like to see.
Dr. Hafiz Ali, thanks for speaking with us. That was Professor Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussain, Head of Research at the Faculty of Business and Law at Taylor's University, as well as member of the Centre for Industrial Revolution and Innovation. And that was our second segment of our Mind Your Business rollout, I suppose. Are Malaysian entrepreneurs moving quickly enough when it comes to digital transition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.